Universal Film Studios logo is shown. British Sky Broadcasting presents American Dream, starring Hugh Grant as Martin Tweed, Mandy Moore as Sally Kendu, Dennis Quaid as President Staten, and Willem Dafoe as the Chief of Staff. The film's directed by Paul Weitz, voiced by Stephen O'Neill on behalf of MCS Agency. Nighttime, a dark-haired man in a t-shirt pulls a piece of paper out of a fax machine and reads it. American Dreams is at the top of a list entitled National Television Awareness Tracking. He's standing in front of a floor-to-ceiling glass window, behind which is an illuminated pool. A blonde woman in a blue shirt enters.
How are the numbers?
Incredible. Absolutely, yeah. Incredible.
Congratulations. I'm leaving you.
The man has his back to her. He continues looking at the facts.
Did you hear what I said? I'm leaving you.
Yeah, I heard, yeah.
I'm not kidding.
I know.
He turns and smiles.
Look, I think it's an excellent decision on your part.
You do.
You're a fantastic person. And the last year's been great, really. You're beautiful. Sex has been wonderful. You're kind and supportive. You wait for me with dinner when I work late. You're amazing. And it's driving me out of my fucking mind.
The pretty blonde woman looks surprised.
You know, with numbers like this, this should be the happiest day of my life, and instead I have to worry about whether I make you happy all the time.
She appears emotional.
Jessica, sweetheart.
He attempts a winning smile.
You make me feel like being a better person, and I'm not a better person. I'm me.
He gives her a little nod.
I feel sorry for you.
With a look of horror, she turns and walks away. Martin shifts his weight from foot to foot.
Don't. I certainly don't.
He watches her walk through another room.
In fact, I envy myself deeply.
Then there is the famous column-fronted facade of the US presidential White House. A lemon is cut in half and some toast pops out of a gleaming silver toaster. The crusts are cut off two pieces of toast stacked on top of one another. They cut down the middle diagonally. A spoon of coffee is put into a shiny coffee pot and water is poured in. Half an orange is pushed down onto an electric juicer and fresh juice trickles out of the spout lower down the device. A grapefruit is cut in two. Then a porcelain bowl containing the grapefruit is placed on a tray. A rose in a silver vase is put next to it. A traditional cover is put over the breakfast plate. Then a door is opened, and the silver breakfast tray is being carried along a corridor by a figure in a black waistcoat, bow tie, white shirt, and white gloves. Man is staring out of the window of a lavishly furnished room.
Good morning, Mr. President, and congratulations. It's good to have you with us for another 4 years.
Thank you, Thomas. It's good to be back.
Would you like me to turn on the TV, sir?
The president, in his dressing gown, turns to the butler.
Oh, no. That's okay. Hey, I'll tell you what. How about the paper?
The paper, sir?
Yeah. Oh, what the heck? We'll see what the New York Times has to say about things. Bet they're eating some crow this morning. We have a copy anywhere?
We can get one, sir.
All right, get one. And scare up my reading glasses. I'm going to read the newspaper.
Shall I bring it to the workout room, sir?
No, I'm going to read my paper right here in bed. Take it a little easy this morning.
Well, you deserve it, sir.
Yes, I do. It was a heck of a fight.
Yes, sir, a heck of a fight.
Important thing is, good guys won.
Then a terrorist camp on the Afghan-Pakistan border. A line of men all dressed in black with turbans are on an assault course. They're being filmed by a small Arabic-looking film crew, training video shoot day one. The recruits clamber along the rungs of some wooden monkey bars. One of the trainees falls onto the sand, then gets tangled in the legs of another still hanging from the rungs. Then the men men are scaling a tall wooden fence, which they're clambering over. One slams into the fence and falls to the ground. Armed with Kalashnikovs, the trainees rush around narrow corridors and shoot holes in a cardboard cutout of a waving President Staten. One of the men tries to fire his gun, but it's jammed, and he's knocked over by another recruit. The film crew are covered in dust.
God! This guy's pathetic! He's ruining every shot!
You! Come here!
I'm sorry, sir.
Sorry? Is that what you're going to say when you endanger your brothers on the holy mission?
No. Just stay out of the shot. Yes, sir.
My wife's cousin. Otherwise, I'll send him back home tomorrow.
Everybody from the top, huh? Let's shoot this puppy!
Come on.
Nighttime in the camp. Two armed men are sitting around a fire. Another two men head towards a tent. The hapless young trainee is poking his head round the corner of a different tent. He enters the structure and pulls a wooden box out from under a bed. He opens the box and picks up an LP entitled Broadway Highlights, which he stares at. He opens up a little old portable record player, the lid of which is covered in a photo of Donny and Marie Osmond. He blows dust off the LP and puts it onto the little record player. He clicks a switch and the turntable starts to revolve. He puts the stylus on the record. The young man has dark hair and a dark beard, but he has a kind and innocent face. He gets up and clicks his fingers. He starts to do exaggerated musical theatre dance steps.
One. Singular sensation, every little step she takes. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. One. Thrilling combination, every move that she makes.
He spins round a pole. One of the camp leaders comes out of his dwelling. He heads round a corner. The dancing trainee's shadow is thrown up onto the outside of his tent. The leader strides into the young man's accommodation.
No!
What is this?
Was I being loud?
You could hear you down into the valley.
The man grabs the record and smashes it over his knee.
That was rare.
You are lucky it was me who found you, not one of the others, because they would cut your throat.
I'm so sorry. I like show tunes. I grew up listening to them. My mother had a collection of 50 records.
Your mother was killed by an American bomb.
I know that. That is why I'm here.
Look. I've got some news for you. Your papers came through. You are leaving next week for Frankfurt and from there to Orange County. You'll be staying at our mutual cousins. They know nothing of your purpose there. You are to just wait until your sleeper cell contacts you.
When will that be?
The elder leaves the tent.
Never.
Daytime, Tweedy Productions, Hollywood. Martin Tweed is standing in front of a smiling poster of himself.
I can't. I just can't. I can't possibly. I can't do it. It's too horrible. Please, not another season, please. I beg you, don't make me do it. Don't make me do it. Don't.
Everyone's ready for you, sir.
Great, terrific.
Okay, let's go. Let's rock and roll.
Yep.
Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you again. Or rather not see you. Can we have the house lights, please? Now? Not next Tuesday. Cheers. Boo. Here we are again. Here we are. Yet again, here we are producing the most popular show on television, a show to which not only America, but now the whole world is glued. Yay!
A small group of production staff sit in the auditorium.
Which brings me to the task at hand. When you're on top, there's only one place to go. And where is that?
Down.
Who said that?
A blonde-haired woman in a beige jacket looks around innocently.
Down is an incorrect answer. The answer is up. Up. Because if you go down, do you know what happens? All those people who were buttering you up and smiling at you just moments ago leap on you and kick 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 you until you shut up.
The woman looks a little shocked. Martin glares at them all.
Down is not an option. So, let's go out there and get some great contestants. And I don't just mean talented, I mean human. And by human, I mean flawed. And by flawed, I mean freaks. bring me some freaks. Let's make this a show that even I would watch.
A blonde-haired girl at the top of a staircase.
Is it them? Is it them?
Don't run!
She falls down the last few steps.
Wait, 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 you're here! Okay, right, go!
Your mother raises her hands to her face. The Kendu residence, Paducah, Ohio. The blonde-haired girl opens her front door, her camera crew are waiting outside.
Sally Kendu?
Yeah?
We're from American Dreams.
I know.
And we're here to tell you...
You've been selected to perform on the show.
The cameraman keels over.
Why'd you do that? You know what? Just once I would like to tell... What are you doing?
Sorry. Screaming.
Stop. I'm really sorry. We're gonna have to do this all over again. You're gonna have to go inside and come out and jump for joy all over again because we didn't get it on camera.
Okay.
Sally heads back into her house. Then she re-emerges onto the veranda and starts to jump up and down again.
Oh, she's good.
A balding man enters the president's bedroom.
There's my guy. Congratulations, Mr. President. You said we'd tear him a new one, and we tore him a new one. Excuse me. The big guy up there tore him a new one. He smited them.
Smote,
smited, whatever. What's with the papers?
New puppy?
They're newspapers.
I can see that. Hi, Mrs. P. You look beautiful.
Good morning, Wally.
So, Mr. P., you ready to meet the press?
Not right now.
Mr. P., we discussed this. I mean, it was your idea to meet the press after the big win. Heralding a new era of openness, what with our overwhelming mandate?
Yeah, I know. It's just that there is a lot of stuff in here. There's a lot of interesting things.
Well, yeah, there is a lot of stuff. They have to fill the pages with something. But I think interesting is stretching it.
Well, for instance, did you know that there are two kinds of Iraqistanis? Actually, three kinds of Iraqis.
Do you mean Sunnis and Shiites and Kurds?
You knew about this?
So did you. You knew this, Mr. P. It's in your weekly digests.
It's not like in this country, where whites and blacks and Latinos all get along and there's no prejudicial deal between them. I mean, these people, they have some long-standing beefs with each other.
Look, honey, American Dreams is coming on again soon.
That's great. Great.
Mr. President... We have to get you dressed and prepped. The press is waiting for you.
You mean they're all out there waiting for me?
They certainly are.
The president sighs and hangs his head as he sits on his bed. Wally, the chief of staff, punches the air enthusiastically.
Well, I just want to sit here and read for a while. I think I deserve a break. I'm kind of exhausted.
Mr. P, we need...
I am not going out there right now, gee damn it.
At a party...
Move it. Fun in a bucket.
All right.
Hey, Willie, where's Sally? Get her down here.
Well, you know how girls are.
Hey, man. Yeah. That's some girlfriend you got.
When are you going to marry that girl?
Oh, we're talking about it, Uncle Fitz. We were thinking maybe next spring, huh? All right.
The young man munches some fried chicken. Meanwhile, Sally is sitting in front of a mirror looking fed up.
Hey, Sally, it's you-know-who.
Come on in, Willie.
The door's locked, babe.
Wearing a patterned red dress, Sally gets up and trudges across her bedroom to the door.
What are you doing up here, Sally, when everybody's down there celebrating your triumph?
Great. I'm really excited for them.
And they're really excited for you. You know, I am too. I don't think I've ever been prouder in my life.
You know what? I was pretty excited for myself too for like a half hour. And then it sunk in that this means nothing.
Nothing? Sally, this is your dream. You've always wanted to be on TV.
No, I've always wanted to be a star.
Isn't that the same thing?
No, Willie, it's not the same thing. Any idiot can be on TV nowadays. All you have to do is swap your wife or eat a sheep's anus or something.
Yes. Yes, but you are gonna sing.
Yeah, I'm gonna sing. I'm gonna sing, and I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough!
7 years!
No, you know what I am?
I am the best karaoke singer in this county of Ohio. I'm gonna go all the way out there, right? And I'm gonna come right back home and lose in the first round because I'm not good enough.
No way.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Way. No way. No way. No way. You're cute. You got a great voice. You got personality. And you got a great voice. What? I think you're gonna win the whole damn thing. And if for some reason those folks have their heads up their stink holes and you don't win, for whatever reason, I'm not gonna love you any less. I'm gonna love you more because I see your real beauty and I don't need no TV show to show it to me. Honey, I got some big news today too.
Sally sits next to Willie on the bed.
I'm being made assistant manager of plumbing fixtures. Assistant manager. And you know what happens next. Manager, plumbing fixtures.
Willie. I think it's time we broke up.
Willie looks shocked.
What?
It's just, I don't think it's working anymore.
Sure it is. It's going great.
Not really. No, your life is here. And my life is shoo. Or maybe it's shoo.
She gestures up and down.
Either way, see, I can't take you with me.
Willie searches for the right words.
But I love you. I love you. Damn it, you can't do this to me. Now listen, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me, and I can't take it.
You stand here and cry.
She nods.
I'm gonna go down and greet my fans.
Sally! She comes downstairs.
Hi, everyone. Now, who'd like to hear a little song?
Ariza residence, Orange County. A thin young man of Arabic appearance with long dark hair is practicing dance moves in front of a mirror on a little stage with a gold curtain behind it.
She's a very freaky girl, the kind you don't bring home to mama. She's a super freak, super freak, she's super freaky.
He talks to himself.
Wrong. Do you want this? Do you? Gear.
Ekbal, darling.
What?
Your cousin Omar is arriving any minute.
Okay. I'll be up in a moment. I'm doing something here.
No, not in a moment. A moment with you stretches into an hour. Your cousin has come halfway around the world. Let's show him some hospitality. You come up right now. Ah, don't get me upset today, okay? You know I don't like to get upset.
She leaves the room. Iqbal flicks his hips in front of the mirror. A balding Arabic-looking man in a striped shirt and Omar, the musical terrorist, enter the large, comfortably furnished house.
Nazneen!
What a home. It is, oh, stupendous.
What, this whole place? Nazneen! Nazneen! Ah, there you are.
Aunt Nazneen.
This young man thinks our little home is stupendous.
What? This old shack? Let me see you. Let me see you.
Hey, Omar.
Could this be little Shabnam?
Call me Shazzy, everyone does. I'm so excited you're here. It's been, what, 10 years, right?
Yes.
We're gonna party like rock stars.
Okay.
Omar. I am so, so sorry about your mother. You know, I loved her very, very much. I told her to leave Baghdad. It's too dangerous. But she was headstrong.
No, Nazneen, this is a happy day, remember?
Oh, yes, of course, sweetie. Yes, honey.
Hey, Iqbal, this is your cousin, Omar.
Oh, hello. Hi. Long time no see.
He walks away.
Come on, everybody. Come on, sweetheart. Come on, let's be happy.
Yes.
The president hasn't made a public appearance for the last 3 weeks. What about the rumors that he has a mystery ailment?
There is no mystery ailment. As we all know, the campaign process takes a lot out of a person. And the president has been enjoying the intervening time to rest and reflect.
Is it true that he left President Putin on hold for 30 minutes when the Russian president called to congratulate him?
Absolutely not. The president and Mr. Putin had a nice talk. The president considers him a close friend, while, of course, deeply mistrusting his undemocratic tendencies.
Another reporter stands.
Sir, what about the rumors that the president had a nervous breakdown?
Nervous breakdown? Look, fellas, I'd like to remind everyone that we're still at war here. The terrorists are looking to exploit any sign of weakness, and it's not a question of if, but when they're going to launch a major attack ending life on Earth as we know it. So let's just Try and keep a positive attitude.
The seated reporters all raise their hands.
Okay.
That's it.
The chief of staff gets off the little podium and leaves. Meanwhile, the president's bedroom is covered in stacks of large, heavily bound books and piles of newspapers. The president, still in his dressing gown, is sitting cross-legged in the middle of them reading. The first lady leans against the bed.
Poopy.
She steps up to him.
Poopy.
Hey, Poopy. When did you get up?
4 hours ago. It's time for you to get dressed. I picked out a nice suit. We both think you need to get up and get out of this bedroom.
Who's we?
Hi, Mr. P.
Well, hi, Wally. I didn't hear you come in.
I guess you were distracted.
No, Wally, be careful with that pile. That is the Canadian Press.
Canadian Press? What on earth are you doing reading the Canadian Press? Who outside of Canada gives a shit about the Canadian Press?
Wally language.
They're our neighbors.
Our neighbors? Sir, you are worrying me here. I don't know how long I can cover for this.
Well, there is nothing to cover for.
He climbs onto the bed.
I'm just trying to figure out a few things.
If you wanted more info, sir, why did you cancel the weekly briefings?
Because I'm not sure I'm getting the straight poop from them, that's all. I mean, Iran and North Korea are not just like Dr. Octopus and Magneto.
You don't like cartoons? Fine, they're gone. Joe, we're trying to help here. Linda.
Well, we were wondering, maybe you ought to take some of these.
She holds a pill bottle.
What, your hormone pills?
Well, they're not hormone pills. They're happy pills. They make you happy when you're sad.
The president frowns.
Well, hold on here. Are you sad?
No, I'm happy. But I think you're a little sad, maybe. I think maybe you ran so hard. You fought so well for this wonderful victory so that you could help your country and...
You fought so well for your wonderful victory.
Well, it's a wonderful victory that now you have the wind knocked out of you. You're wondering, what was the point of it all? Why you? Why now? Why did the Lord pick you out of all people? What are your special qualifications? And did the Lord even pick you? Or was it just having really, really powerful friends?
Are you saying the Lord didn't pick me?
The Lord did pick you. He picked you.
Of course he picked you, honey. The thing is, we just can't have a president who stays in his pajamas all day.
Come on, sir. The country needs you.
I like the country.
Well, that's good, because you're its president.
President Staten looks unconvinced. He opens up the pill bottle and takes out a pill. Then Sally's ex-boyfriend, William, walks up to the veranda of the Kendu's wood-fronted, whitewashed house. Now with a crew cut, he jogs up some steps. The front door opens. Mrs. Kendu, who has shoulder-length light brown hair, stands in the doorway.
Hello, William.
Hi, Mrs. Kendu. I just came by to say goodbye to Sally.
Oh, have you up and joined the Army?
His T-shirt says Army on it.
I have, Mrs. Kendu. I just feel like since Sally dumped me, my life has been meaningless, so I'm trying to find meaning by defending my country. And I just wanted to tell Sally that.
Well... William, that's very sincere of you, but, Sally isn't here. She's in New York, meeting with agents.
Agents?
They're folks that, they act greedy and mean for you so you can seem like a nice person.
But Sally is a nice person.
Mrs. Kendu looks down.
So I'm not gonna get to see her then, am I?
I'm afraid not, William.
The young man raises his eyebrows and nods earnestly.
Well, you just tell her that wherever I am, I'll be thinking of her, and I got her face tattooed on my arm. It's from our prom photo.
Well, it's beautiful work.
He covers up the tattoo of the smiling girl and hugs Mrs. Kendu. Then in the house, Sally steps into the hallway.
Oh, now I feel like a terrible person.
Well, you can't help it if that boy wants to go do something foolish like get a tattoo.
Martin's beside a TV screen in his plush office.
I'm bored of these contestants. I want some variety, okay? I want someone to love. I want someone to pity. I want someone to laugh at. I want someone to masturbate over. Possibly we have that already. I want an Arab.
I'm part Arab.
No, don't be ridiculous.
No. Mother's Syrian, dad's Korean.
Good God. All right, then. Bring me a fellow Arab and a Jew. Bring me an Arab and a Jew.
What about an Arab Jew?
That'd be funny.
Excuse me. I'm sorry to interrupt. Martin, I've got the White House on the phone for you.
No, love, I don't think you have.
I think I do.
He looks unconvinced, but turns round to his desk and picks up the phone.
Hello, Martin Tweed.
No commercials.
Don't be ridiculous. We can't do no commercials.
The PR benefit to you will more than make up for it.
With all due respect, we are the number one show on TV. We are watched by college freshmen, grandmas in retirement homes, death row inmates, nuns. We hit every demo. That is the reason you've come to us. You need the PR more than we do.
We're talking about the President of the United States here.
Yeah, a president who hasn't been seen in public for weeks. There are rumors he's gone bonkers.
Hasn't gone bonkers. Doing great. Feeling good, has good sense of humor, tremendous popular appeal, man of the people. That's why we want to get him out there in a big way.
I heard you're also booking him on Larry King and Oprah?
That's correct.
No, that is incorrect. If he does our show, he cannot do any other show before our show, and he cannot do another show for at least a week afterwards.
But those are talk shows. The president's old friends with Larry, and he loves Oprah.
Don't we all? Still, those are my terms. No other TV appearances, two commercial breaks.
No commercial breaks.
Two.
One.
One. One commercial break.
Okay.
Okay. Great. Great. Woo! Looks like the president's going to be a guest judge on American Dreams.
In the grounds of the Reese's mansion.
Hi.
Hello.
Well, now he looks as strange as you two do.
Nonsense. He looks adorable.
He barely let us spend anything on him. All the stuff is on sale.
Oh, thank you so much. This is more than I need.
You see, you two need to learn a lot from this fellow.
Darling, we must get him his own credit card.
Why not?
Hey, Omarizer. Want to see something cool?
Watch out, Super Game Master might jump you.
Shut up, Harry. She-mail. Let's go.
In the basement room.
She's a super freak, super freak. She's super freaky.
On his little stage, Iqbal stares blankly at Omar, who is sitting looking amazed. Iqbal smiles and bows.
Wow.
Omar stands up.
Bravo! Okay, thank you. Thanks.
Oh, he's shaking.
Okay, now you're just making fun of me. Stop.
Omar's open-mouthed.
No. You are extremely talented, cousin. Not only as a singer, but as a dancer. You have pizzazz, my friend.
Really? You really think so?
Yes.
Wow. How strange to not be met with mockery.
Who mocks you?
Everyone. That's why no one's allowed down here.
Oh, this is a spectacular setup you have.
You think so? Oh, gosh, I really wish you would have been here last month. I taped an audition for American Dreams. I had to have Shazia on the camera. She couldn't stop shaking with laughter.
So how do you work the lighting in here?
Oh, I'll show you.
Then in northern Iraq, vehicles from the 4th Infantry Division are moving along a dusty road. A beige jeep leads three large trucks. In the back of one of the trucks, soldiers are sitting holding their rifles. They wear helmets and beige camouflage combat uniform. Willie is sitting next to an African-American soldier.
Hey, how long you been in Iraq?
14 months.
Wow. 14 months. You must have seen a lot of stuff. This is my first day here. In fact, I just joined the Army 2 weeks ago. I had kind of an accelerated basic training. I was pretty surprised when they said, pack your bags, you're going to Iraq. Honestly, I thought they were joking. Hey, you got any advice for me?
The soldier's uninterested.
Don't get shot. Don't get shot. Okay, will do. Oh, what was that?
I think you just got shot.
My tattoo!
At the Ken-dos.
First off, I think you're really talented. And you have a chance to win this whole thing.
A chance? She's gonna win it all, mister.
Mom, shut up. Go on, check Krogel.
Thank you. I know she's gonna win, Martha. That's why I'm representing her. But winning American Dreams isn't just about talent. You have to have a story. Now, the whole poor white trash thing is great.
Well, we're not white trash.
No. Of course not. But it doesn't hurt to imply that you are. Look what it's done for Britney Spears. See, everyone in America thinks they're middle class, so I'd like to have someone to look down on.
We are middle class.
Mom, shut your gaping pie hole. Go on, Chet Krogel.
Human interest is what wins these things. Now, absent father's not bad. You two are divorced, right?
Well, Daddy lives with another man in Chicago.
Another man? Maybe? Well, no. Let's not feature that. That's too much of a wild card. Now, one thing that's important, Sally, is that you not appear to want it too much.
I'm just singing for the love of singing. As long as I get to get on that stage and perform in front of that incredible audience, I'm happy.
Not bad. Now, of course, on the inside, you do need to want it really badly.
Mr. Krogel, I'd rather jab my eyes out with toothpicks and eat them than lose this thing.
Okay, awesome. There's sort of this Hollywood thing. The camera puts on 10 pounds, so you're gonna want to lose 20.
Screw you. I control my weight swings, no one else. Having a little extra me, taking it off, packing it on, can really make people root for you. Hasn't hurt Oprah.
The wiry man in a suit sits back in his chair.
I love Oprah.
We're busy!
Did you get that?
Mrs. Kendu, in a red blouse, peers out of her net curtains. William's holding a bunch of roses.
Oh, my lord! Sally, you better get over here.
Sally, in a white top and ripped jeans, approaches her mother.
It's William. He's back. I think he's been wounded.
Sally peers round her mum.
Oh, my God. Oh, poor William.
He stands outside in green parade uniform.
I don't think he's going away.
The agent rushes up to them.
It's Sally's old boyfriend. She broke up with him a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it wasn't gonna work. Every time he smiled, I wanted to hit him in the head with my shoe.
So he's a returning war veteran injured in Iraq?
That's right.
Chet looks thoughtful.
Yeah. Sally, remember what I said about human interest being the thing that wins American dreams?
With an apprehensive expression, Sally tilts her head. Then she opens the front door.
Hi, William.
Hi, Sally. I'm back. Brought you some flowers.
Oh, gosh. Thank you, William.
His arm's in a sling.
Got injured in Iraq.
Yeah, I can see. I'm so, so sorry.
William nods awkwardly.
Well, I just came to say hi, so...
Yeah, but William, I'm actually really happy that you're home and you're back and you're alive.
She hugs him.
Oh!
Sorry.
No big deal. Listen, I'm so happy to see you too.
She grabs him and kisses him. Chet emerges out of the front door, filming them on a camcorder. William frowns.
Sally, who's the guy with the video camera?
Nobody. He's just my agent.
Oh, cool.
Keep going. Don't mind me.
This is Linda Garvey reporting live from the White House. It is his first official state visit since his re-election, and the president is hosting the premier of China. Unfortunately, news cameras weren't allowed inside for the meeting.
I am terrified of North Korea. I keep having this nightmare. The sirens are going off, and then someone rushes in and tells me that the North Koreans are attacking. So I run to get my Bible, but I can't find it. And then the sky goes dark.
An old Chinese man looks up.
Do you ever have nightmares?
Willie looks at the translator.
Fail. Improvise.
He says, the president hopes you got some sleep on the long flight from Beijing.
Bye-bye. Sure you don't want to sleep over? All right. Next time. Bye now.
The president steps back into the room and takes off his jacket.
Well?
He puts it on the sofa.
I think that went really well. Seems like a real nice guy.
Yes, he's very nice. Very nice. For a communist dictator.
What the hell is going on here, Joe? I mean, have you had a friggin' nervous breakdown?
No.
It's not a very reassuring answer. Joe, you remember when we first met? When I came up to you at that fundraiser for your dad and I said, you're going to make one hell of a president, and you said, you mean my dad is, and I said, no, pal, you are?
I kind of remember it. I was pretty toasted.
Is that what's happening here? Are you getting toasted again? Do you have a bottle hiding somewhere?
No, of course not.
Because I'm there for you.
Wally frowns at the president.
It's just that there's some things that kind of seem pretty black and white. And now they kind of becoming a little gray-seeming.
I'll tell you one thing that isn't gray-seeming. Your numbers. The only demo where you have an approval rating above 30% is with children under the age of 5. You know what they're saying out there?
Yeah, I've been reading the papers.
They're saying you've disappeared. They're saying you've gone cuckoo. Look, Mr. President, we have a lot of important work to do. We're making democracies, and you have to keep your eye on the prize.
He takes a few steps away.
First off, no more newspapers. In fact, no more reading. Back to the regular briefing. Second off, we're going to up the dosage on your medicine. Third off, we're going on a publicity blitz to show the world that you're still going strong, still have the common touch. And to start off with, you're going to be a guest judge on American Dreams.
He's clutching the president's shoulders.
Are you sure that's dignified? Oh, it'll be dignified. And charming. And populist and on message. Because you'll be wearing this.
A tiny earpiece.
What is that?
Omar's on a sofa.
Hey, Omar. Wanna go to the mall?
We just went last weekend.
Yeah, now we're going again.
Why, did you forget to purchase something?
Shazzy and her brother stare at Omar blankly.
If you do not mind, I think I will pass on the mall today. I would like to just stay here and relax.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Omar wears a brown striped top and beige trousers. He peers through the spy hole in the front door and watches a silver 4x4 pull out of the driveway. Then he's down in Iqbal's basement room. He flicks a switch on a control panel and lights come up on the little stage. Omar trots up onto it in front of the shiny gold curtain.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're too kind, really. Thank you very much. Thank you. And now, a piece from the classic Guys and Dolls.
The TV producers are walking up a road.
This is really a new low. The Iqbal guy can't sing.
Neither can the Hasidic guy.
What? The Hasidic guy rules.
Wait, I hear singing. Start the camera. Start the camera.
Luck be a lady tonight. Luck be a lady tonight. Bah! Luck if you've ever been a lady to begin with. Luck be a tonight.
The TV producers are standing in the doorway.
May I help you?
You do not understand. I have no desire to be on a television show.
But you have real talent.
Do you really think so? But it is a moot point. Because it is not I you are looking for. It is my cousin, Iqbal.
I want him. No, I don't want him. I need him. I love him. That is it. That's my Arab. Iqbal's our Omar's in.
Okay, we're working on it.
Now, here's a tape that Sally Kendu's agent sent over.
She's the white trash girl from Ohio.
Apparently, she has a boyfriend who was injured in the Iraq War, and this is footage of their reunion.
Martin lies back on a reclining chair. Sally is kissing William.
Now look at this right here.
Did you get that? Whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Give me that, give me that, give me that.
He freezes the footage as Sally is speaking to the camera.
Did you get that?
He frowns at the screen.
Dirty bitch.
Then Martin drives up to the Kendu's house in his bright red, open-topped Ferrari. He stops the car and ruffles his hair. Mrs. Kendu is waiting in the house with a group of other people.
Oh, my God. It's Martin Tweed. Martin Tweed, everyone.
Martin steps onto the veranda in a black top, leather jacket and designer sunglasses.
Get back, everyone.
He waits outside the front door of the wood-fronted house. Inside, Mrs. Kendu walks slowly towards the door with an air of someone gathering themselves. She opens the door. Martin turns round to her.
Mr. Tweed. Oh, come on in.
Thank you very much. Oh. Mrs. Kendu?
Oh, yes.
And a lot of other Kendus.
Can I get you some hot bun cake, or how about a beer?
No, thank you very much. I'm on a strict sashimi diet.
Martin, Chet Kroegel. We met at Upfronts a couple years ago.
Right, yeah, Chet Kroegel. I don't want to talk to you.
Okay, no problem.
Do you know what? Do you think I might go upstairs and talk to Sally in private?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sally's bedroom has cuddly toys on the dresser. There's makeup and a photo of her and William. Sally's perched on her bed looking apprehensive. Martin's standing leaning on the dresser, grinning at her awkwardly. Sally remains troubled. She looks out of the window, then smiles back at him.
Cool car.
Thank you very much, thank you. Not easy renting a Ferrari in Paducah, Ohio.
Sally appears uncertain.
I'm surprised that you're here, because I thought we were supposed to meet for the first time on stage at the show.
Yeah, normally we would. I never produce these segments. But I heard Paducah was an exciting town, thought I'd check it out.
Sally still looks unsure.
That was a joke.
I'm aware.
He didn't laugh.
It wasn't funny.
No. But why didn't you laugh? Just to kiss my ass?
I figure you didn't need me to kiss your ass. I mean, sure, you have people kissing your ass 24 hours a day, and I guess, like, not kissing your ass is like kissing your ass for most people.
Absolutely right. That's weird. One can become quite detached from reality when one's famous.
Really? That sounds so cool.
Yeah. It can be.
He stares at her.
So, Sally, I've seen your tapes. I think you're very talented.
He sits.
Really? You do?
Well, moderately. But beyond that...
Beyond that?
I think I like you.
She's taken aback.
I don't mean romantically, I mean... I think I like you as a human being.
Sally nods, still confused. Then the red Ferrari is speeding down a country road.
So, have you ever been in a Ferrari before?
Yeah, tons of times.
You know, sometimes I'll be driving my Enzo down Mount Holland Drive, really gunning it. I'll look at the little railing at the side of the road and the steep drop just beyond that, and I'll think, wouldn't it be great just to shoot off the edge of the cliff?
He glances round at her.
That'd be fun.
Mr. Tweet,
No, don't call me Mr. Tweet. Call me Tweety.
Like Tweety Bird, but with a D?
Exactly, yeah. You know, my mum used to say to me, Martin, you have no talent. No one will ever love you. Well, look at me now, Mum. Look where no talent will get you. You jealous, drunk old bitch.
Really, that's great. But Tweety, can you help me win? Because I would do absolutely anything to win this show.
I'd love to help you, Sally, but there's only so much you can do. It's down to you. You've got to make the people love you.
The way that they love you.
No, nobody loves me. My mum was right about that, but it's fine. I don't care. I don't want the fake bullshit that passes for love in this world.
Well, you don't have to worry about me. I'm not even sure that I like you.
He turns to her.
Wow. God, I can't believe I just said that out loud. I never say stuff like that out loud.
I think you're a rapacious little bitch.
Well, I think you're a self-involved preening idiot.
Sociopathic, egomaniacal Madonna wannabe.
No talent, famous for being famous, third-rate Regis Philbin clone.
At the Reza family dinner table...
So at the mall today, I upgraded my plan to 5,000 minutes, but it's a family plan. Oh,
thank you, Marcy. Should have gotten 10,000. Iqbal.
Yeah?
Something very odd happened today. It's funny, really. You see, these people from the American Dreams television show came by.
Iqbal looks round at his sister in disbelief.
Yeah? And, I was using your stage, you heard me singing, they want me to be on the show.
He stuffs some food into his mouth. Iqbal is still grinning.
I'm sorry. Did you say they want you to sing on the show?
Mm-hmm. Isn't that amusing?
Holy crap.
Jesse.
Well, congratulations, Amar.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Amar. That's what you have to say. Congratulations, Amar. Do you know how hard I've worked to get on this show? You've stolen my dream.
I am so sorry. I told them. I told them they had made a mistake. But do not worry. I will simply refuse to be on the television show, yes? Yes, and then they must take you instead.
They don't want me. Nobody wants me.
Nonsense, sweetheart. We all love you.
Is that going to make me famous? I don't think so.
Wearing a patterned black and white shirt, Iqbal flounces out of the front door. Nighttime at the terrorist camp. The men are sitting in a tent watching a small TV.
Next week, the exciting premiere episode of American Dreams. Which of these hopefuls will live the next American Dream?
They watch clips of each of the contestants.
Wait! Rewind the TV!
Some of the contestants are shown again, an Orthodox Jewish man doing robotics, then Omar.
Pause it.
They lean forward, then Mrs. Reza opens her front door.
Hello.
Hello, Mrs. Reza. Is Omar at home, please?
Yes, he is. Who shall I say is asking for him?
Just some friends.
Come in, please.
Three Arabic-looking men enter the house. Then they're sitting out in the jacuzzi with Omar. Mrs. Reza heads towards them.
Sunblock, anyone?
Yes, thank you, Auntie.
Sure. Now I am going to bring you boys a little treat.
Thank you.
The leader of the newcomers has curly black hair and a beard. He stares at Omar, who is squeezing the bottle of lotion.
Very cushy situation you have here. No pool? No, just a jacuzzi.
Omar passes the lotion to one of the other men, who squeezes some onto his hand.
The Western Command has learned of you being chosen to sing and dance on a hedonistic television show aptly named American Dreams.
Wow! You guys heard about that?
The man's covered his face in cream.
It's all a big mistake, you see. They got me mixed up with my cousin, because I would never engage in such a frivolous activity. In fact, I'm going to tell them I will not be on the show.
You are to do no such thing. You are to perform on the show. And you must get to the championship round, because judging the championship round will be none other than the President of the United States of America.
The President?
When you are on stage with the President, you will have smuggled in an explosive belt. And you are to martyr yourself, killing in the process the head of the serpent.
If I don't make it to the final round.
Omar, folks don't call me the torturer because I don't like to torture people. You know what I mean?
Omar nods reluctantly.
Now, who would like to try some grapefruit sorbet?
Each of the men raise their hands.
In a busy political week capped by a marked increase in his approval ratings, the president has stepped back into the public eye in a string of high-profile events. Earlier this week, he hosted the Ukrainian president, lifted weights with the head of the Organization of African States, spent some time with his dog, Henry, and chatted with Carmen Electra at a black tie event.
Thank you.
You come back now,
right? Okay, nice meeting
you. Okay.
Then he and Wally watched the telly.
After weeks of seclusion, suddenly the president is everywhere, even signing on to guest judge the finale of the top-rated television show, American Dreams.
Yeah, we're back. All right, hold still.
He pokes tweezers into the president's ear.
It tickles. You want to wear this thing all night? Then sit still.
Wally pulls out the tiny earpiece.
This thing is incredible. Great reception. I can't believe I didn't think of it earlier. Hell of a week, sir. You really got back on message.
That's because you're telling me what the message is.
Exactly. I just love that Carmen Electra. Thanks. I would have never had the courage to go up and talk to her by myself face to face. Engaging girl. Good night, Mr. President.
Still in his black tie, the president is sitting on a sofa in his room. His face crumples with emotion, and flinging his remote control down, he starts to cry. Then in Omar's room...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Iqbal enters.
Hey. What are you doing?
Nothing. I'm just rehearsing some dance steps.
Oh.
Look, Iqbal, I am so sorry.
Stop. I don't want your pity. Does it look like I need pity?
No. You have far too much dignity.
If these people know nothing about talent, there's not much I can do about it, is there?
Omar stares at him sheepishly.
So let's see it. Let's see your dance steps.
Oh, all right. Huh. 1, 2, 3, 4. What?
Oh, there's no way you're gonna win this thing.
I know, I fear as much.
Iqbal puts his hands on his hips and stares at Omar's feet. Then in Iqbal's basement room...
Get up there, up on the stage.
Are you sure?
Do it before I change my mind. Okay. Now, this is just a bass track. It's good to practice moves, too.
I don't like this kind of music.
It's just a bass track. It's just for rehearsal.
Okay.
Iqbal turns and sighs.
Now, one problem you have is you move like a reanimated corpse in a zombie movie. Not good. You need to loosen up. Okay. Come on, let's go. Freeform jazz dancing right now. Immediately.
Iqbal, why are you helping me? I destroyed your dream.
Yeah, you did. But that was yesterday. Today, I've turned a page on a new chapter in my life. I'm not sure being a performer was ever what I was really meant for. I'm more of a behind-the-scenes player, a puppeteer, as Svengali, if you will.
He sits.
As of today, I'm your manager.
Outside the Kandus.
This is Martin Tweed, and I am in the small town of Paducah, Ohio. Our first dream starts right here, where local chanteur Sally Kendu hopes her dream comes true.
Sally's introductory video is shown.
It was always Sally's idea to perform, not mine. I mean, she's been wanting to do this since she was 6 months old.
Sing!
She did it before. She's just shy. Come on, honey.
Sing!
The last remaining business on Main Street is Harry's Hangdown Bar and Grill, where Sally works as a part-time waitress. The Hangdown is a home away from home for the largely unemployed male population of Paducah.
A group of unemployed bar patrons cheer at the bar, behind which Sally stands looking fed up.
Sally's high school sweetheart is a decorated war veteran, a real American hero.
He's kissing her.
And halfway across America, hailing from halfway around the world, Omar Obeidi lives with his cousins, the Reza family, a refugee from the mayhem of the Middle East.
I cannot believe my good fortune to be competing on the show. This is truly an American dream come true.
Now.
America, you will be Omarized.
He makes an O shape with his fingers.
Like any American kid, Omar likes to hang out at the mall, where his posse all know him.
Omar, American dreams, baby.
Yo, here you go.
I like your style.
Oh, Mizzle, that's my dog right there. Keep it real, man. Remember that. Keep it real.
There may not be peace in the Middle East, but there is Middle East in this piece, as we visit Cantor Sholem Glickstein, recent Israeli immigrant.
I wish you all luck. I wish all the contestants luck, because I'm coming for them. Do you hear that? You hear that? I'm coming for you, bitches! Yeah! I'm coming for you!
Huh? Looks great.
Big day tomorrow, boss. You fired up?
In Tweed's office.
Yes. I am fired up.
The blonde producer sits down.
Deborah.
Yes.
Do you think I'm lovable?
Lovable? Yeah. Yes. Sure. Very.
She nods.
Frank?
The oriental-looking producer speaks.
I love you. That's all I know.
Martin looks forward and sniffs.
Okay, thanks. You can go.
Deborah gets up and Martin presses his remote and the TV footage rewinds to Sally staring at the camera. The other producers leave and Martin gazes at the TV. Then the American Dream studio, in front of the raked seating area, a shiny curved stage, behind which are angular panels reflecting high-tech lighting effects. Martin stands in the middle of the stage.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back, America.
Boom!
I'm Martin Tweed, and I am so delighted to be back with another exciting season of American Dream. We have some amazing dreamers who are going to perform for you tonight. Some will triumph, some will sink back into obscurity. Only one will become America's newest sensation. It's up to you, America. Only you have the awesome power to lift someone up into the heavens and create a new star. And here are your dreamers.
Wearing a white shirt with a patterned front and dark trousers, Martin jogs towards the audience. He skips up the steps to a large armchair in the middle of the seating area. He sits down on it.
Let's go, let's go, let's go! Come on, watch, watch. Go, 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 go! Come on, come on up, let's go, go!
A large group of young contestants are marshalled onto the stage from the rear of the studio. Omar is at the back wearing a pink jacket in the style of a circus ringmaster. The audience and Martin are standing applauding them. Martin is grinning excitedly. He sits down in his blue chair and drums on its arms. Sally is then standing alone in the middle of the stage.
Can
I'd like to dedicate this song to a real American hero, my boyfriend, William Williams.
Williams in the audience wearing his military uniform.
He risked his life for our freedom, and that's a real American dream.
She grins coyly. Martin, in his seat, claps thoughtfully.
Mommy, don't drink me to bed tonight. What's gotten into your head tonight? Did I make you mad? Is that why you're sad? Daddy, where have you been all my life?
Mrs. Kendu is sitting next to William in the audience.
You got a new wife, and there's nothing to do. But I know that's not true. And there's no one to hold me close when I cry.
Martin stares at her, nodding gently.
So gentle till a storm passes by. And I'm just a kid, but I know it ain't mine. So mommy, don't drink me to bed.
Sally lowers her microphone and grins broadly. As the audience cheer around him, Martin sits in his armchair with a thoughtful and somber expression. Sally continues smiling and acknowledging the applause. Martin stares into the camera.
Sally. I think you're terrific. In fact, I think you have star quality.
Thank you, Mr. Tweed.
She turns and leaves the stage.
Sally Kendu.
The next contestant is a thin young man with short ginger hair and a blue jacket.
Girl, let's not be friends, 'cause we've shared too much. Girl, you know that I'm yearning for your touch. 'Cause I can't be less than your everything. 'Cause I'll lay down and cry, I'll curl up and die. Don't let this be how my story ends. It's love or goodbye, so let's not be friends.
I'm a Rocky Man, I'm a genuine Rocky Man.
The man has long brown hair and a striped orange and black shirt. Martin shifts in his seat. Then there's a young African-American singer with dark hair and ringlets.
I never felt this way.
Girl, you know I want you. I got a rocket launcher so bad. Let's get raunchy tonight.
He wears a Jewish yarmulke.
I wanna talk to you or take you out and launch you so bad. Let's get raunchy, alright.
He stares wildly into the audience. He kisses his finger and shrugs coolly. Martin, pressing his fingers together in front of his face, has an expression of contemplation.
Sholem, I only have two words for you. Mazel tov! No, you were wonderful. Really wonderful. Good news, Paulie. I don't want to be your friend. In fact, you made me want to projectile vomit. Bobby, I think my ears are actually bleeding. You're like a musical Ebola virus. Cindy?
I'm afraid I have felt this way before. And it was just before I tried to kill myself. Sorry, love.
The black singer's dejected.
Sorry.
She starts to go, then turns.
I hate you.
Nice girl, Cindy.
Martin applauds with a caring look. Omar in the ringmaster's jacket walks onto the stage. The three terrorists are sitting on a sofa watching an old TV.
It is.
One of the men has a big bag of crisps.
Fantastic, Omar. Oh.
Iqbal and Shazi are in the audience. Chet gives a couple of token claps.
Don't clap.
No, no, no.
Omar's routine is filled with awkward gestures and dance moves.
To dream the impossible dream.
Martin looks shocked.
To fight the unbeatable foe. To bear.
Iqbal is joining in with the routine in his seat.
Sorrow.
What the hell is that? He looks like he stepped on a scorpion.
This is my quest.
to follow that star, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause.
Go, Omer. Go.
The unreachable star.
He points to the audience.
You have been Omerized.
Iqbal and Shazi lead the applause. Mr. and Mrs. Reza look ecstatic. Martin's mouth is still open, as if he can't believe what he's seen. Omer stands on the stage with some anxiety.
Omer? That was strange. Strange, but rather wonderful. I think I have been Omerized. I think I might be homosexual.
With a nervous nod of the head, Omer waves, backs away, then turns to go. The American Dreams logo comes up on the back screen as Martin smiles good-naturedly. Then all the contestants are gathered on the stage, all waiting in the shadows. A spotlight comes up on one singer. Sally looks anxious. A spotlight comes up on her and she jumps for joy. A spotlight comes up on Omer. He looks delighted and claps. Sally is smiling open-mouthed, as if in shock. Chet, her agent, points at her. She looks up at Martin, who winks at her. Then there's a montage of further American Dreams episodes. Backstage, Sally is having her hair styled by a female hairstylist. Omer is sitting next to her. Gel is being rubbed into his hair by Iqbal, who glares at Sally.
They came on boats from across the sea.
Sally steps onto the stage. Martin, in his armchair, looks enthralled. Then Omer is on stage laughing. The stage is again filled with hopeful-looking contestants. The spotlight goes out on a young man in a rapper-style outfit. In another episode, a young man is performing in an army camouflage ensemble. Martin yawns in his blue chair. The contestants are back on stage. The spotlight goes out on a handsome young man. In the street, Omer is signing photos of himself. The group gathered around him rush over to Sally. Back in the studio, Omer in a grey suit spins round as he sings. Iqbal and Shazi exchange happy glances. Sholem is performing, then a young African-American female singer. Next day, Sally and a young man wearing a flat cap are being filmed beside a shiny black pickup truck. The light goes out on him at decision time and he bursts into tears. Sally is singing on stage, wearing a black leather jacket.
Dreams with a C, true dream, American dreams. Dreams with a Z.
We began the show with 50 dreamers. Now we're down to just 3.
He steps up beside them.
Boo. How you doing? All right. And the 2 finalists.
He pops up behind Omer and Sally. Mrs. Kendu has her hands to her mouth. Iqbal and Shazi wake nervously in the audience too.
Will be revealed after this commercial break. Brought to you by American Motors, introducing the tank, 50% larger than the next biggest SUV on the road, because you need it.
Give me some boob over here, Travis.
Calm. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Here you go, and you're supposed to be drinking this.
Must I?
Contractually, yes. Your envelope.
Thank you.
Sally smiles.
All right, let's wrap it up. Let's get this out of here. Let's get the chairs out. Let's go. Get the lead out. Big smiles, everyone. Big smiles. And we're back. 3, 2.
Excuse me. Delicious. That's wildly refreshing. And now, America, you have voted.
He glances behind himself, then opens the envelope. With a look of anticipation, he looks down at it, then out towards the audience.
Sholem Glickstein?
Yeah.
Martin bites his bottom lip and steps towards the Jewish young man. Martin puts his arm round his shoulder and rests his forehead against Sholem's head.
You are... not.
Mrs. Kendu and Chet get to their feet, as do Iqbal and Shazi.
This week's winners who will move on to the championship round are Sally Kendu and Omar Obeidi. Don't forget, on next week's finale, special guest judge, the President.
The President perches on the end of his dark wood bed and points a remote at the telly. The First Lady in white silk pyjamas turns down the bedclothes.
Honey, I have a confession to make.
She climbs onto the bed.
I haven't been taking my happy pills.
Actually, I haven't been taking mine either.
But you don't seem sad.
Well, I guess I'm not. At first, those happy pills really helped me a lot. But eventually, I think they were just kind of like placebos.
Placebos?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't they illegal?
No, Poopy. It means fake.
He shuts his eyes and sighs. She rubs his shoulders.
You know, I guess I kind of feel like I'm a placebo.
He's frowning.
I mean, I've had speechwriters writing for me all my career and advisors telling me what positions to take.
He shakes his head.
I can't even remember why I wanted to get into politics to begin with.
She gives him a serious look.
I think it's because my mom wanted me to. Show my dad any idiot could do it. Maybe I ought to just chuck the whole thing. What do you think? Start with that American dream deal.
I don't you say that. Do you remember what I said the first time I met you?
Yeah. Hey, jerk off, you spill your beer on me.
After that, when you went and got that towel and borrowed that t-shirt from one of your frat brothers for me, I said, now that there is a good guy. And I still think so today. So you just go on and be on that show. And then afterwards, we will tell Wally no more earplugs, okay?
How am I going to know what to say?
Well, we will think of it together.
He looks at her and grins. Then, in one of the rooms in a lavish hotel...
Look at this! Overmania!
America's newest mascot, adorable, Omar Obeidi, has omarized the whole country.
Should have been me.
They look at Iqbal.
I mean...
Great, Omar. They love you.
Room service.
Iqbal gets up.
Hey, what are you going to say when you meet the president?
Sorry?
Sorry? Omar, you crack me up.
Okay, we've got two orders, spicy tuna hand rolls, a plate of fresh fruit, and some chimichangas.
The bearded terrorist leader is disguised as a waiter. Omar stands looking shocked. The man gestures to Omar to move.
Oh, you guys go ahead and start eating. I have to go talk to the waiter in private for a moment.
Then, in a shadowy bedroom...
So, you have become quite the famous man. You know why they vote for you?
Because they like me?
Ha!
The man sits.
Because you are a figure of fun to them. They see you prancing and singing, and they can forget the terrors they've inflicted on our lands with their soldiers and weapons.
It could be, yes, I guess.
I have to hand it to you. You have put us in a wonderful position to strike them a crippling blow.
Omar looks to the heavens and lifts his finger.
About that crippling blow, I really don't know how I'm supposed to do it. You see, really, there is a lot of security there.
All you have to do is get me and the rest of your brothers on the guest list for the studio audience. We will smuggle in the explosive device in pieces, assemble it there, and then you must only retrieve it in the toilet seat-covered dispenser in the men's bathroom. Then, when you meet the president and shake his hand live on television, you will ignite the device, and I will see you in paradise.
You will be killed too?
Not yet. It's a pretty small bomb, but I'll see you up there in a few years, I'm sure.
The two men nod awkwardly.
So I'm just curious, how is this Martin Tweed in person?
In another room, Sally's eating a plate of chips with her fingers.
Sally, 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 I am so proud of you. I always knew you had a great voice, and now the whole world knows it too.
William, no, I have not won yet. Everybody seems to be forgetting that, you know, folks?
They love that Middle Eastern guy.
They love you more. They love us more. You know how many hits we got on our website last night? 16 million. Congratulations.
Thank you. William, you make me feel bad. Why do you care so much about me?
Why? Because, honey, you are my dream girl.
Yuck. Ugh, I can't stand looking at those damn french fries anymore. Just cover them up or something.
Sally Kendu, I love you. Okay, I love you. I love how you binge eat and then starve yourself. I love how pretty you sing, whether it's in the shower or in front of millions of TV viewers. I look at you, and I see that same girl that I fell in love with in high school. And I'd like to know, right here and now, if you'd help to make my dream come true and marry me.
Oh, my God.
Mrs. Kendu enters.
Oh, my Lord.
Hold it right there. Nobody move.
Chet, what are you doing?
I'm calling the camera crew.
No, you're not. Put the phone down, Chet. Chet, put the phone down right now.
Chet, put the phone down.
What? Are you kidding me? This is great. Stop.
He puts down the phone.
And William, stand up, please.
But...
Stand up. Now, please understand, I am so touched by your proposal and the sweet things that you just said to me, but right now is a really bad time.
Do it on the show.
On the show?
Absolutely.
Great idea.
Really?
Yes. And do that thing about how every time you look at her, you see the same girl you fell in love with in high school.
Wait, you were listening?
I'm in the other room, man, so yes. And you. Hey, you. Are you still into winning this thing? Because this is what we in the biz call incredible television. People are going to be in their living room sobbing, and then they're going to be crawling over each other trying to get to the phone so they can call up and vote for you.
Sally rubs her chin.
Well, I'm up for it if you are, Sally.
Yes, this guy! We are going to get into this with the producers. Can I see that ring for a second? Wow, that's great. We're going to get a bigger one so that it plays on TV, but there's nothing wrong with that ring. Now, here's what I'm thinking, okay? It's going to be a special built around the wedding. Do you sing it all, William?
I can sing a little bit.
I think you can sing a little bit. I think we're going to call it Sally and William, sealed with a kiss. What do you think about that?
I love that.
Yeah, I think everyone's going to love that.
Then, in the bar of the hotel, Omar, dressed in a gray polo shirt, sits at a table staring sadly down at a piece of his broken old record. He sighs deeply. Sitting at the bar's counter, Sally sips from a glass. Picking up a fork, she prods at a piece of chocolate cake in front of her. Wearing a salmon-coloured cardigan, she rests her head against her hand. She turns round in her seat with a dejected look. She spots Omar and walks across the richly furnished lobby towards him, holding her drink.
Hey, Omar. Am I in there?
Oh, no. I do not drink. Thank you.
Sally stands next to him and turns around thoughtfully.
Hey, do you ever wonder what you're doing this whole competition thing for?
He nods.
Only every day.
Sally moves to the other chair at the table and sits down in it.
But then I think of my mother. She loved all types of singing. It keeps me going on.
Sally smiles. She puts down her glass and touches her chin.
When I was 10 years old, I weighed 200 pounds.
Omar thinks to himself.
That is large.
I am. I told myself I would lose 90 pounds by the time I turned 14 or I would kill myself. So I lost the weight. And, I suddenly was really popular. I had a whole new group of friends. I had this cute boyfriend. Even my teachers liked me better. And my mom and I walked around the entire house collecting all the pictures of me when I was fat and burned them.
He looks at her sympathetically.
I love my mom.
Omar smiles at Sally, who shakes her hands and shoulders. She fidgets in her chair.
Good luck tomorrow.
Omar nods.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm gonna have to destroy you.
With a winning smile, Sally gets up from her seat and moves away. Omar points at the glass that she's left on the table. Then, in the empty American Dream studio, police are walking along the rows of seating with sniffer dogs. In a shadowy room, the terrorist leader cuts four thin slices from a dark block, in front of which are four foil chewing gum wrappers.
Here is your chewing gum. Remember, no blowing bubbles.
In the TV studio, a line of people are being frisked by the security guards.
Is this really necessary?
Just a little bit higher. That's good.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Give me a little bit more in here. Take my mustache down a little bit, too.
The audience members are in two queues passing through metal detector gates manned by more security guards. In one of the lines, the three Arabic men put the fake sticks of chewing gum into their mouths and make faces of displeasure. The Oriental-looking TV producer approaches William, who's in his army uniform.
Willie. Yeah. Okay. Omar's gonna go on first. And then after Sally is done, we're gonna hit you with a spotlight. Then you're gonna go on stage and do your proposal. Got it?
Got it.
All right.
What's happening?
She's very excited.
It's a joyful moment. Joyful.
Sally's in her dressing room.
Hi, Tweety.
Hi, Sally.
Sally's in a silk dressing gown.
Just, wanted to say good luck tonight.
Thank you. Could you just give us a quick second, please?
Sure.
No problem.
The makeup lady heads out of the room. Martin watches her leave.
So, I think you're going to win.
She giggles and looks down.
Novelty contestants never win the whole thing. That's why I've been helping him along.
Thank you.
He flicks some balloons.
Hey, is something wrong?
No.
He sits down.
I mean, nothing beyond the usual creeping dread.
She rubs her hands together and stands up.
All right, well, I'm sure you know at this point that William is supposed to propose to me on tonight's show.
Yeah.
Do you think it's bad of me to accept a proposal from a man I don't love in order to manipulate people into voting for me?
Bad. Such a nebulous word, isn't it? You know what I think? I think everyone wants something. William wants you. Why? Because he has this idea in his head of what you are. I don't think he cares if it's true or not, just so long as he keeps his fantasy alive. So I think he deserves what he gets.
He deserves to be miserable?
Why not? You are, aren't you? Despite your newfound fame and adulation?
Tweety, I sometimes feel like you're the only person in the whole world who really gets me.
She sighs.
Yeah. Sometimes I look at you and I see my own reflection. It's revolting. And attractive.
He licks his lips and rolls his eyes. Sally's smile broadens.
Martin, I'm not physically attracted to other people, but if you want me, I'm yours.
Problem is, I find that whenever I become intimately involved with a woman I admire, it rapidly degenerates into mutual loathing. I don't want that to happen to us.
She nods in a concerned manner. They look at each other for a moment.
Having said that,
she smiles. Then the bearded terrorist locks the door to the men's toilets. One of his colleagues passes him a ball of the explosive gum, which the bearded man presses onto the wiry connections of a homemade bomb. The other man passes him a big red button, which he screws carefully onto the device. Around the collar of the button is written, "To explode yourself, press here." The three terrorists head out of the toilets, past a line of men queuing for the loo. In Omar's dressing room,
Omar, are you okay?
Great, great. Just a little nervous, I guess. I just feel confused.
About what?
About this country. Yeah, there's so many nice people here, but it does so much harm in the world.
So?
So to what degree is this country culpable for its actions? Are Americans to blame for America? And beyond that, can causing someone else to suffer ever truly ease one's own suffering?
Omar! You're wigging out. That bitch deserves to suffer.
What bitch?
Sally, who are you talking about?
15 minutes, Omar.
See, I think the dress works because it flows nice.
The dress is going to be a hit.
William turns to Mrs. Kendu.
Hey, I'm going to go run lines with Sally.
Well, don't be long.
Okay.
A pair of security men in dark suits stand at the entrance to the movie studio complex. Two police motorcycles at the front of the presidential cavalcade head through the open barrier beside them. The procession of police cars, black vans, and stretch limos move sedately past a large studio building, at the side of which is a poster of a grinning Martin Tweed. The vehicles drive round the corner of the building and come to a stop. More men in dark suits get out. Deborah, one of the producers, approaches a limo, which the president steps out of.
Mr. President, it's such an honor to have you here.
Happy to be here.
Omar, dressed in a pink jacket and flowery blue shirt, enters the toilets. A dark-haired man quickly leaves. Omar heads into one of the cubicles and shuts the door. He bends down to the seat cover dispenser and lifts out a paper cover, upon which is written, "Wrong stall." Omar frowns to himself. He looks round and opens the door. With an expression of confusion, he enters the next cubicle. He removes the top paper seat cover, and the little bomb is revealed beneath it. Omar stares at it, open-mouthed.
Press here to explode yourself.
A floor manager rushes down a corridor.
Where's Martin? Where the hell is Martin? Has anybody seen Martin?
He's in there.
What the hell is he doing in there?
He looks through a keyhole.
What are you doing?
Oh, this isn't pretty.
What?
William crouches down and looks through the keyhole too. He stands up with a shocked expression.
That's Sally and Mr. Tweed?
Yep.
William looks concerned and thoughtful. He walks away. Chet and Mrs. Kendu are sitting in the audience.
Are you seeing anybody?
What?
The three Arabic men take their seats.
So much bigger on TV.
Hey, watch my foot, huh?
Martin is doing up his shirt.
So, do you feel filthy?
Not really. How do you feel?
Sally is scrunching up her hair. Martin turns to her.
It's weird. I don't actually loathe you.
You either.
Martin thinks to himself and raises his eyebrows. He kisses the back of Sally's head, turns, and leaves the room.
Right. President here yet?
Yeah! How you doing, everybody?
A dark-haired man is standing in front of the audience. The First Lady sits in her bed watching her TV.
And now your host, Martin Tweed!
Martin stands in front of the American Dreams logo at the back of the stage and lifts his arms up. The terrorist leader taps the shoulder of his colleague.
That's Martin Tweed.
You're looking very good, sir, very good.
Martin puts up his hands.
Welcome, America. Welcome, world. Welcome, everyone else. Boo!
Wally gestures, dusting off his shoulders.
We've been through so much together. We've laughed, we've cried, we've formed attachments.
And now, we're down to just two. And to help me help you judge tonight, we're welcoming a very special guest. The president of this great country.
President Joseph Staten!
The president steps out into the light and shakes Martin's hand.
Thanks for having me on your show.
The First Lady applauds, sitting up in bed. The Afghani terrorists are gathered round a TV in a tent. In the studio, the chief of staff is standing at the side of the stage.
So, what do you think of these two great contestants, Mr. President?
I think they exhibit what's best about America.
Wally's talking into his shirt cuff.
The spirit of resolve.
A spirit of resolve that makes this the greatest country in the world.
Omar's at the edge of the stage.
They know what they want.
They know what they want, and they go out and get it.
All right.
I'll be right back.
Omar, where are you going?
Omar sprints round the back of the set. He rushes up a flight of steps. Martin is applauding the president on the stage.
Is that interference coming from?
Turn that freaking thing off!
And turn that freaking thing off!
The Reeses are watching their TV.
Oh.
Martin looks confused at the president, who gives him a fixed grin. The chief of staff seems bewildered. Martin nods.
Okay. Okay. America, Mr. President, without further ado, let me introduce America's favorite Middle Eastern import, Omer Obeidi.
Omer is standing in front of the mirror in the toilets, unbuttoning his shirt. He lifts the bomb pouch from around his neck and deposits the device carefully into the bin. The president and Martin climb the steps up into the seating area. They sit down on two blue armchairs. Mr. and Mrs. Reza have a large group of relatives gathered around their sofa watching the television with them. The terrorist leader turns to his colleague.
Where the hell is he?
I don't know where he is.
I'm going on.
At a sprint, Omer grabs a microphone and dashes onto the stage. Martin and the president join the applause. Omer looks round a little awkwardly. Omer appears to be gathering his emotions.
My wife loves this guy.
Martin nods in agreement.
If now the end is near, and so
it's a bad Hot Frank song. People aren't going to respond to that.
Final curtain.
Old choice of song.
My friends, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway. But more.
The president shuts his eyes and, with a look of discomfort, puts his finger up to his ear.
I did it my way.
Martin looks round at Staten, who still has his finger in his ear. The chief of staff is watching the president on a monitor.
I've had my fill.
Mr. President.
My
what are you
share
doing?
Of losing.
I'm getting a lot of feedback in this thing.
He's looking at Martin as he's speaking, who stares back at him blankly, a little confused.
I find it all so amusing to think I did all that. And may I say.
Iqbal stands at the side of the stage, watching with an expression of pure admiration.
Oh no. Oh no, not me. I did it my way.
One of the Arabic terrorists has tears running down his cheeks. William strides down a corridor, wiping tears from his face. He goes into the men's toilets and looks at the engagement ring.
Then he has not.
He throws the rings box into the waste bin, inside which is the bomb. He bends down over the bin.
The record shows I took the blows and did it my way.
The three terrorists stand and applaud.
I love you, man.
The Reezers are clapping joyfully in their front room, in the Afghani tent.
He nailed it!
The president is frowning to himself. He rolls his eyes and slaps the side of his head. The little earpiece falls into Martin's lap. Martin turns to the president and they get up. The TV producer leads President Staten down the steps towards the stage. Martin high-fives Omer.
Omer, meet the president.
Yes, what you said.
What do you think of Omer tonight, Mr. President?
What did I think?
Mr. President.
What did I think?
Mr. President, can you read me?
I think.
He stands awkwardly beside Martin and raises his hand.
I liked you.
Thank you, sir.
The terrorist frowns at Omer.
Go ahead. Wait.
And I just want to say, in terms of the Middle East.
In the tent, the Afghani leader pays attention.
That it looks like the problems over there are never going to be solved.
What?
I mean, never. Never, 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 never. And so.
He shakes his head slightly and shrugs.
I'm sorry about that.
What the hell was that? I never said that!
Oh, Poppy.
The Reza family look confused.
Well, Mr. President, I deeply hope, for all of our sakes, that you are wrong.
I hope so, too.
The president points at Omar.
Nice singing.
Well, on a brighter note, we'll be back after a short break with the enchanting Sally Kendu. And then you all will decide who is the winner of American Dreams.
The president has wandered off. The terrorist leader puts his hand up to his face.
That's it. Show is over.
What are you talking about? There's another contestant.
Sorry.
I'm taking my guy out. Your guy just went way off reservation. Talk about depressing. Half the audience want to shoot themselves.
And you, sir, are no Oprah.
I kind of like to see how Sally does.
All right, you. Where's the evil one?
He shrugs.
And we're back in 3, 2.
We're back. And now, all the way from Paducah, Ohio, America's newest sweetheart, Sally Kendu.
Staten points Martin to the seating area. A crowd has gathered in Sally's downtown bar. Some of them raise their bottles of beer as they watch the TV. Sally smiles broadly, then strides out onto the stage wearing a glamorous white evening dress. Martin and the president reach their two armchairs. They sit down. Meanwhile, Chet and Mrs. Kendu look round at the empty seat next to them. Spotlight shines down on Sally.
I would like to dedicate this song to someone very special in the audience. My boyfriend, William Williams.
Some of the audience members turn round. The spotlight illuminates the empty seat next to Mrs. Kendu. Chet shakes his head. Martin is applauding, but as he looks over at the empty seat, he stops. William trudges onto the stage towards his confused girlfriend.
Oh, what? No. No, he's supposed to propose after she sings.
He's an idiot.
Yeah.
Martin leans over to the president.
Excuse me a moment. There's morons, Mr. Q.
He dashes down the steps and heads towards the stage.
Let's all welcome Sally's sweetheart, decorated war veteran, William Williams.
But William stares morosely at Sally.
I think perhaps William has something he wants to ask Sally.
Sally?
Sally smiles.
Yes, William.
How could you do this to me?
The chief of staff turns round in his seat, confused.
How could I do what to you?
How could you sleep with Mr. Tweed?
Martin looks at Sally, who's dumbfounded. He raises his hands and makes a comic face of disbelief.
Whoa! Boo! Serious.
Well, seriously, William, I think it's common knowledge I would never, ever, ever sleep with a contestant on American Dreams.
I saw you through the keyhole.
Martin looks dumbfounded too. Wally nods his head.
He nailed her.
The Reza family are watching open-mouthed.
I guess you two think I'm stupid. I guess you all think I'm stupid. Well, I'll show you how stupid I am. I'm gonna blow myself up with this bomb I found.
Sally rolls her eyes. The terrorist leader in the audience frowns.
William, don't joke around about something like that.
Oh, I'm not joking.
He has Omar's suicide bomb strapped to his chest.
Keep rolling! Keep rolling! Get back to your camera! Get back to your camera! Come back! Come back! Come back to that camera!
Oh, no.
Omar and Iqbal are at the side of the stage. Iqbal rushes away. Omar heads onto the stage and stands tentatively behind William.
Mr. Williams. Mr. Williams, do not do this. It is not worth it. Your death will not solve any problems.
Solve the problem of me feeling miserable.
The president emerges from a huddle of people.
William, I'm the president.
I know who you are, sir.
As your commander-in-chief, I'm going to have to ask you not to blow yourself up. Now, I've had dark days myself, William. Days where I just wanted to lie in bed and dream. Never get up.
From the other side of the stage, the chief of staff watches Staten.
But I have come to think that it is better to deal with reality.
William blinks as he listens thoughtfully.
No matter how unpleasant it is.
It's my guy.
Martin looks round at William, who thinks and nods.
No disrespect, sir. But if I can't have Sally Kendu, then I don't want to go on living.
William, you two.
Stay there! Stay there!
Martin grabs a camera on a long boom.
My American dream will come true for me.
Sally remains standing in front of William, looking scared. Martin moves the camera towards him.
My American dream for all to see.
William!
Every woman and man has their own destiny.
As William faces the camera, Sally rushes away.
To dream American dreams, dreams with a Z.
The viewers are watching open-mouthed, the group in Sally's bar, the First Lady, the Reezers, and the Afghani terrorists. Martin mouths fantastic to William.
Dreams with a Z.
The camera pushes the red button on William's chest. The picture is lost on the screen in the Reezers' house.
What happened?
It's white noise on the screen in the Padookie bar too. Then an American Dreams logo appears saying, call to vote. The group in the bar all take out their mobile phones. Sholem, surrounded by young women in a lavish sitting room, is tapping into his mobile phone. And the Afghani terrorist is using a huge phone in his tent. Then the audience are streaming out of the main gate of the studio lot. A group of armed security men in dark suits head out. The president is being led away by two of them. Sally emerges and stumbles towards her mother, who hugs her. Chet applauds.
Yes! 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 You won this thing. You won it.
Where are you going?
Listen, those three gentlemen right there. They're the ones with the bombs. You see, right there, those three. They're the one with the gun.
More security men apprehend the three terrorists and take them away. The president is pushed onto the back seat of his limo, and the car door closes. The presidential cavalcade speeds out of the studio lot. Wally rushes after it, waving his arms. He watches the cars head off. 6 months later, the three apprehended terrorists dressed in orange prison boiler suits are in security facility 743Y.
All right, everyone, please shut up.
They take their seats in front of a telly.
It's starting.
Season's finale was the highest rated show in television history. As my boyfriend, William Williams, suffering from hallucinations caused by post-traumatic stress, tragically lost his life. There was a silver lining though, as he was voted the surprise winner of American Dreams. I know he would have been so thrilled. Fellow runner-up Omar Abadi has been touring the country with a repertory of Broadway hits.
His bar's in the empty auditorium.
Stop! This isn't a hoedown!
Special guest judge President Staten recently returned from a Mideast fact-finding tour with his new chief of staff.
You choose first, Poopy.
Guess I'll go for the newspapers first. You take the intelligence reports and summit briefing, and then we'll switch.
And I have some pretty big shoes to fill.
Sally wears a dark jacket.
Of American Dreams. I am so excited to be your new host. It's such a dream come true for me. And I'd like to dedicate this season to someone who is very special to us all. The great Mr. Martin Tweed.
An image of a smiling Martin Tweed appears on the backdrop behind her.
We will miss you so very much. But now, on to an exciting new season, and here are your dreamers!
Sally leads the applause and walks forward towards the audience. The stage is showered with silver confetti as the new group of young contestants stride into the space. Some are waving, some have their hands raised. The audience are standing, cheering enthusiastically. The end.
My American dream will come true.
Girl, let's not be friends, 'cause we've shared too much. Girl, you know that I'm yearning for your touch, 'cause I can't be less than your everything. Cause I'll lay down and cry, I'll curl up and die. Don't let this be how my story ends. It's love or goodbye, so let's not be friends. So much.